Well, there's the crew. The crew had essentially two crews in one, seven people, three of whom, this three persons here, were the Expedition 5 crew members. These were the persons that to us were considered payload, but of course they were very much the crew that was going to attend that space station for six more months. Our job was to deliver them to the station and bring the other ones back. And then our commander and our co-pilot here, and then Philippe Perrin and I were the mission specialists who executed the spacewalks, the assembly activities and the repair that we had to do. Philippe is from France, so again, another example of international activities. There's our launch. You've seen many of these launches on TV, so we will not dwell on that. This one was actually a photograph taken by the station crew as we were approaching. It's very interesting how the shuttle comes to catch up with the station. It's a very interesting ballet that has to be carefully orchestrated, so the two vehicles kind of chase each other over a period of a couple of days, and eventually they do catch up, the shuttle catches up with the station, and then you begin this very careful approach until you do link the two together. That's what it looks like when they're connected. Again, you see the tunnel that I mentioned to you connected to the front of the station. The previous crew had already delivered this very large piece of truss with the basic cart that was going to receive the MBS assembly from us. We would be standing right here in the cabin. If we were to look through this window here, we would see this picture, this view. There is the view of the small cart that goes up and down the truss of the station. And as I mentioned earlier, this truss has now been extended back here and back out to the other side. It is a very long truss. It's on the order of 200 feet now. This cart then would accept the MBS and allow the station arm to be translated up and down. Well, how do we practice all of this stuff? I mean, very involved. And you can see that a lot of the training is done underwater. We have a facility in Houston, which is a very large swimming pool. It's 40 feet deep, it's 200 feet long and about 100 feet wide. Very large swimming pool in which we have very, very high fidelity mock-ups of the pieces that we will encounter when we get there. We spend a lot of time in the suits, in the space suits. Here in this case, Pepe and I are working on one of the very carefully orchestrated procedures that we practice over and over and over until we basically can do this in a second nature. We try to anticipate every eventuality, every move, every second, of every minute is important, because we have to be very efficient to accomplish the job. We have safety divers that are with us all the time, and these typical training sessions last on the order of 6 hours or so. We spend about 6 hours underwater in the suit doing this. Now, a more comfortable venue to train, which is very useful, is the virtual reality environment. Here you can see I've got this headgear which is covering my eyes, and I have certain unique gloves with special sensors which allow me to live in and practice in the virtual environment. And what I see is essentially the station. It's as if I were out there in space, and I can actually hold on to handrails and translate from one point to another and find a little screw that I need to unbolt and take out my power tool and put it in and turn it and find a cable and connect it and so on. You know, In this case, I am practicing getting my feet on this platform, which is attached to the robotic arm of the station. And this is very important because the astronauts inside the station would have to move me around to let me go to the right places to do my work. And so we have to orchestrate this activity very carefully. And it is all done in the virtual world. Here is, well, this is the real thing. Here we have managed to do a job that came to us a bit suddenly. About 2 months before our flight, we were given another task in addition to our tasks already in training. And that was that the station arm had a broken wrist. It had one of the joints in the wrist had been failing, and it was our job to give it a new wrist, do major surgery on this arm. And the action really involved removing the hand of the arm, replacing that wrist motor, and then putting the hand back on. Now, the hand of the arm is about the size of an automobile engine. It weighs about 600 pounds. Obviously, in space, it doesn't weigh anything, but it has a lot of mass. So you have to be very careful how you move these things around and where you put them. The other thing is that you couldn't just leave the hand sitting there indefinitely. We only had a certain amount of time because the hand, just like a human hand, cannot be out without the rest of the arm for a very long time because it will die. It has a very delicate electronics that we had to protect it for, and so we had to finish this job within a certain amount of time. The job of replacing the joint, which is this piece right here, it has already been completed in this picture, and this is about the job of replacing a automobile transmission, and more or less, for those of you who are auto mechanics, it's more or less that kind of a job. You have to unhook a bunch of bolts, you have to remove a piece of equipment, and then you have to carefully put the new piece in there and torque those bolts to the right torque. It worked like a champ, and now we have a fully functioning arm. We have had no problems since the flight, and we're very happy that this was successful. We do have a very important support element on the ground. We rely on hundreds of engineers and flight controllers who are anticipating potential failures that can come along and really create a problem for our activities. And so they give us rapid response procedures can overcome these problems. So it's not to underestimate the importance of the people on the ground who are helping us out. And so this is what the station looked like when we finished. We left the station. Now the MBS was attached. The arm is now attached to the MBS, and it is able to translate up and down. And as I say, since our flight, two more truss pieces have been added. And in the next flight, which we hope to fly next year, we'll be adding more pieces still to continue to assemble the station to its completion.